to get rid of your fear, phobia, stress, or anxiety? How to burst your fear and transform your life? Welcome to Fear Busters Show, presented by Lauren Rosenberg, fear and phobia relief expert and author of How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happens. You are listening to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio with Lauren Rosenberg. www.fear-busters.com.
Hi, welcome back to Fear Busters Show. This is Lauren Rosenberg, and today we're going to talk about anxiety. And we have our guest, Kate, who's going to talk about how it's affecting her and how she's dealing with it. Hi, Kate. Thank you very much for coming and joining us today.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. So, Kate, just when did you start, and how do you know you have or had anxiety, or you're still suffering from anxiety? How do you know? I mean, it's quite a big word, I always find, because it's quite general.
It definitely is a big word. And actually, you know, a lot of people will say, I'm feeling anxious, you know, because obviously at the moment there are people feeling anxious. But anxiety, you definitely have sort of physiological effects from that. And a lot of people can blame it on different things. My own personal journey, and I'm very honest about that, I grew up having disordered eating, and so I was obviously not predisposed, but definitely perhaps you know, more susceptible to, once recovery had happened, maybe becoming anxious about, you know, gaining weight, or the anxiety around gaining weight again, and all those types of things. But actually, for me, weirdly, having sort of beat all those demons, I began to get what I would consider the symptoms of anxiety as I started to head towards perimenopause. And
what do you mean, symptoms of anxiety? What symptoms do you think were they, or what did you see?
I wasn't sleeping very well at all. Okay.
One of the so Kate, I don't know if you know, or you probably know that sleeping is one of the first signs that something doesn't go quite right in the physical, mental. If our sleep is disturbed, it means that we have something there, either a fear, panic, a trauma that's not been dealt with. So that while we are sleeping, we are in the subconscious mind, and anything that's in the subconscious mind will come up. So sleeping is, if anybody is listening and their sleep is disturbed, definitely look into what can it be connected with. What's the root of the problem? What emotions are creating this sleepless nights, or just nightmares? There's different ways of disturbed nights. So
I totally agree with you on that, because actually there's a lot in my life I think I could really probably do with, and one day I will do it. And I always say, you know, talking to someone and getting a lot off my chest. And I definitely think that my sleep is representative of what goes on in my brain. And actually, as you will know, without sleep, our judgment, our life, everything can become very, very clouded. And the less sleep you have, begins to impact.
Well, we as human being, we need our sleep. In fact, I don't know if you know, but there has been studies where they actually studied dogs, how they sleep, what's their pattern of sleep. And actually, dogs do not have a pattern of sleep. They will sleep whenever they want. So, okay, their life is different than our lifestyle, because we are, you know, we have a timetable and we're putting things and extra things in our timetable. But the thing is that what was really interesting is that when they feel that they need to sleep, they just drop everything. You know, they just go into their bed and they sleep. And there's yeah. But if we could do that, if we didn't have any, we probably would do the same. We have this idea that we need to be awake during the day and then go to sleep an X amount of hours and then get up in the morning. But dogs, what they do is they just sleep whenever they listen to their body. And they listen to their body and then they just go to sleep. We don't really listen to our body. We just think that our body can keep going and keep going. And we think, okay, well, we don't listen to our body. We listen to our mind, and we think, okay, well, you know, it's 11 o'clock or it's midnight or it's 1 o'clock in the morning, let's go to bed. But in fact, it could have been that during the day, if you would have been able to, you probably would have gone to bed and had a little rest, even 20 minutes. And in fact, some countries do that. Some countries have a break. I know in France, when you go in school time, you go between 12 and 2, you go home, you have a little rest, and then you go back again. In Spain, they have a bigger break and they stay up later. So there are certain breaks. In England, we don't. We just keep going, in a sense.
I think you're right. And actually, I think that then what surrounds us is that awful feeling of guilt if we do decide to stop.
Definitely.
In the daytime. And, you know, especially I think at the moment, there'll be a lot of people who can't work, aren't working. And actually, I'm one of them. I've had to shut my studio. So my kids this time in lockdown are back at school. So I have more time in the day. And actually, what I should be doing, because I know that I've got slight anxiety again, is resting and saying, okay. And actually yesterday I was really tired and I felt really guilty for sitting down on the sofa and doing nothing. And I did it, but in order for me to do it, I had to get up and put clothes on rather than my gym kit. And it was psychologically, I had a battle with myself just
guilty about that in itself, unfortunately, is not like a restful use. I mean, you're trying to listen to your body, but then you have a battle and you have a conflict and then you feel guilty. So that is not what we would call like a restful, just relaxing state, because if you're feeling guilty, it's going to create another conflict, and that's not, and then obviously it's not going, you're not going to feel rested afterwards, because
that is the problem. That's where the anxiety is at the moment, and possibly why I have got it. And, you know, going back to that and saying how I knew about that anxiety was because I was blaming sort of other things and didn't realize that perhaps actually, you know, with the perimenopause, with the menopause, your anxiety symptoms are increased. And that's when I realized I was getting, and those are the things I'm getting at the moment, is the heart palpitations, is the breathlessness. And that impacts, again, going back to the sleep, because actually I struggle going to sleep because you worry, you know, and it's a total proper fear, is that I'm not going to wake up in the morning. And it was actually back in March when it was really bad. And I would go to bed at night and I would say to my husband, if I don't wake up in the morning, you can tell the doctors, because I wasn't, you know, I was having heart palpitations.
Because So those signs are, so I don't know if you ever, if anybody's ever explained to you, but those signs are actually signs of emotion trapped in the body, and the body it's just too much. It's like a, you know, you have a vase with water and you just keep putting drops and then they just overflow. So what happened is our body is extremely clever, and a body that feels that the emotions trapped in the body is so much and too many of them, then it will make your body either shake or it will make your heart beating fast, because your body is trying to physically get it out, in that sense.
Fight or flight, isn't it? It's that sort of
thing. Yeah. And I don't know if you do you watch Celebrity Get Me Out of Here? Did you watch
No. And Jordan is brilliant.
So what happened to him when he was being sick on TV, that was too many emotion trapped in the body, and the body had to release. The body had to do something. So it released, and it released not in the right way, but he felt better in that sense after. But when we work on the emotion in the right way and we release them in the right way and we go to the root of the problem, then you do feel much better. But right now, Kate, do you feel, what's the anxiety signs right now? Because you mentioned,
it's very much I won't stop. So I almost get that, like, you know, ADHD type kind of, I just have to keep going. But it's also weirdly a very productive time for me, because I can't sit still, so I have all these amazing ideas, because obviously I think what I do, and I'm very honest about it, is probably keep going to not acknowledge my emotion. This is because I've done a lot of study into myself, and not myself, but as into this. And, you know, it is, if you stop, you're going to have to face it. And
so that's your way of mechanism. That's the strategy that your subconscious mind has created, that, okay, if I don't stop, then I don't have to acknowledge that there's something deeper that I need to actually work on and deal with it. But for everyone who's listening, even if there are dark side of things that happen maybe in your life, or heavy trauma, you don't have to go into deep trauma. You don't have to go back into it so much in having to talk about it. There are lots of different ways that you can do it very easily without having to relive the trauma or having to talk about it. And this is really important, because people think that therapy, oh, I have to talk about it, I have to maybe relive it. It helped for certain certain people, but certain people, it won't, and then it stops them actually dealing with it and going forward, because they're too scared to go back into it. So you can use it. You can really use color therapy is one of the very easy way of releasing emotions without having to go into heavy stuff. So if you want, we can try a little bit. We could try a little sample. Right now, where do you feel something?
Well, I mean, what, as in, well, I suppose it's here, because the anxiety, it's all built up.
Okay.
Here.
So around your chest, yeah. And your neck. Okay. And what color does it look like if you had to put a color to it?
I'd probably say it was purple.
Purple. Okay. How heavy?
It's that sort of squeezing.
Like the tightness, yeah. Tightness. Okay. How heavy that? How heavy does that feel?
Very heavy.
Very heavy. The chest and the throat, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. The heart, or just the chest?
No, it's fine. It's literally...
All the chest. Okay.
From above. All
the, okay, no. So shoulders also a bit stiff or...
Yeah.
Okay, so if you had to pick a colour that would help you releasing this heaviness, what colour would you pick?
Pink.
Pink. Okay, yeah. Bright pink, light pink?
Light pink.
Light pink. Okay. So with your permission, would you mind just closing your eyes, taking a deep breath? Notice this heaviness, this purple heaviness around your shoulder, in your chest, in your throat. And imagine this nice pink going in, almost like a pink river, flooding in, going in, down into your throat, into your chest, lifting this purple feeling. Allow the pink to have the power. Allow the pink to go in, lifting, making it lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. So light and so soft, it'll just flow and it'll just go wherever it needs to go. Remind yourself that you're safe, that you're sitting comfortably in your chair, that we're not taking anything away. We're just allowing the energy that's blocking your body to flow nicely. That's all we're doing. So imagine the pink going all the way around yourself. Imagine the pink going all the way around down your spine. This pink is supporting you, is there, it's always there with you. And just allow this pink to go in, lifting that purple, and just notice what that feel like. And whenever you're ready, just take a deep breath and you can just open your eyes. Now, Kate, compared to just a few minutes ago, this heaviness, is it the same? Is it different? Does that feel a little bit different? No changes?
Easier. It's still that, but it feels a little bit less drangly, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, it is just taking that time to sit and breathe and focus. And that helps alleviate, you know.
So when we feel heavy, especially around our shoulders, that's one of the things that is emotionally, we carry emotion baggage, and it's usually on our shoulders. Something around your throat will be sometimes expressing yourself. So it could have been some things that you may have wanted to say at some point somewhere that you didn't say, or you're keeping things in. And then the energy will be blocked around your throat. And then the chest, that is breathing into life. So if people have breathing difficulties, or that is a sign of a fear, and usually it's a connection of fear of life. And you actually did mention that when the first lockdown happened, you were worried about, will I get up in the morning? So fear is never a good state to be in. And but obviously, due to things that happened to us, that's what's kicking in. But if you can replace it, and the pink that you actually use is usually the colors have a connection and guidance. So pink is usually connected to love. So if you actually send your body more love, more pink inside, or you know, cuddles with your children, that will actually change the state of fear in that sense. That it was just a little sample, but let's do that one more time and see if we can actually just if with your permission, just close your eyes again, take a deep breath. Just remind your mind that it's actually safe to have some time for yourself. And just ask yourself, what color do I really need in order to relax those muscles in my neck and in my throat and in my chest? What color could actually give me that support and help me?
In yellow.
Yellow. Okay. I knew that it was a different color. So imagine this nice yellow going into your mind, down your throat. Imagine like a nice yellow, like a paste going into your shoulders, lifting this heaviness, and see that nice yellow going into your throat, into your chest, and taking that heavy feeling away, making it lighter and lighter and lighter. So light and so soft, it'll just flow and it'll just go wherever it needs to go. And it's safe to do so. We're not taking anything away. We're just allowing those muscles to feel more light, more relaxed, and supported with that yellow color. And just see that nice yellow color going all the way down your arms, your hands, and out of your fingers. And just notice what I feel like to have that, to allow this yellow to little lift this heaviness that's been there maybe for a long, long time. Just see that nice yellow into your shoulder, lifting, making that energy lighter and lighter and lighter. And if you feel like moving or stretching or whatever you need to do, it's perfectly fine, okay? And then just whenever you're ready, you can take a deep breath and you can open your eyes. You okay?
Yeah.
What's that feeling like now compared to when we started?
Yeah, no, it's good. I feel a lot more relaxed, definitely. My heart feels a little bit calmer. Mm-hmm. And I think actually, finally, you touched on something. It was probably worse today because actually my husband wasn't here last night and I was obviously had the two kids. And then that fear of if I don't wake up and it's just the kids, you know, so last night was probably quite
you didn't have a good sleep. Yes. How old are your children?
So I've got one is at boarding school. So he wasn't here, but 11 and 4. So a 4-year old definitely thinks that sleep is overrated. So,
as a mum, whatever emotions we carry, because it's energy, the children will also feel it.
Yeah.
So if you don't sleep well, then your child probably likely to not sleep well.
Yes.
It's going to be so.
Very well. It's just my son who just wants to be with me. So he got bed with me at about 2 o'clock this morning.
But it's understandable, you know, the whole world have changed. Everything that they trusted sort of changed. They can't just go and see their teacher and just or even a nursery having a little cuddle, things that everything's changed, the way they play.
Yeah, my dad's not very well at the moment, so I'm spending a lot of time. I'm a carer, so I'm spending a lot of time traveling. I'm allowed to go. It's been cleared by I've got a registered carer card.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, for COVID sake. So I go and care for him. So obviously I'm away from home a couple of nights a week, and they also know that their granddad's not very well. So yes.
It's adding pressure. It's adding more pressure. And this is exactly what we're talking about, is how much can one person take unless you actually step back and deal with it. We are human being and we can't just keep taking and taking and taking emotions. We have to have the tools to deal with it.
Well, I don't know what my outlet is. I'm like,
exactly.
Exercise.
Exactly. And that, so that's what I wanted to go into. And this is one of the things that actually, if we remember the first lockdown, one I mean, the UK was one of the countries who actually still said you could go out once a day for a walk. Some countries didn't allow that even. So we were very lucky that this was one thing that was allowed. But exercising is definitely one method, as long as not excessive. As long as it's like a, but definitely, as long as not excessive and you're still looking after your body and you're kind to your body, definitely exercising will help definitely for mental health. Any movement, any kind of movement.
Yeah, it's important to say that exercise doesn't have to be going, you know, 100% and you've broken a sweat and you can't move and you can't walk the next day. You know, it's,
I mean,
so
you can stay in your bed and you can still exercise. You can still, you know, I mean, I said to my to people who can't even get out of their bed to just take some juggling balls, sit up in your bed and start juggling in your bed. That in itself is a tiny little movement, but it's a movement of the eye, and the moving the eyes in different direction will reduce your stress level. So, and this is why playing football, table tennis, all those activities with the ball, they're not just on the physical good for you, but they also, they, your eyes are moving in different directions. And this is one of the things that we keep forgetting. By being looking at a screen or looking at our phone, our eyes don't move enough. And in the old time, you used to have, you know, you used to have those board, you know, the chalk with a chalk. So you used to follow, your eyes used to follow when the teacher used to write a sentence. Now it's the screen. The eyes are not moving. They don't, the kids don't play enough in the playground, or they're not allowed to at the moment. So your eyes are not moving enough. And that is creating a high level of stress in the body, because we naturally are supposed to actually move our eyes. So if you don't even do a sport, or if you don't make your eyes moving, that will create, even if you haven't been experiencing trauma or anything, that will create in itself stress level.
Yes.
So definitely moving. So so what you've done so I know that you're into sports. So how did you get into this?
Well, funny enough, I wasn't always. I would never have called myself the sporty person at school. And actually, that's one of the things I find quite frustrating sometimes. Actually, with schools, sport, and that's why I love what I do so much. Is that obviously as kids we're always put into the A's or the B's or the C's, and I think that from the off, for kids growing up, creates a huge amount of pressure. And that
pressure and the wrong belief, and making you thinking, oh, I'm a failure, I'm not in that group, or really bullying, or it shouldn't. I don't believe in putting groups. I believe that everybody in one class should be in one class, and everybody has different abilities. In fact, once school is finished, we're all doing different things. So to think that that you could have one teacher teaching the same way for X amount of students, and that everybody's going to take the same information, and putting them into groups, it's setting you to give you a sense of failure. But also, if you're strong enough, then you will fight it, in a sense.
Or at different ages as well. So, you know, what someone's capable of 8, they might not then be able to do when they're 10. And so actually that's sort of what I would like schools to do more of. Is, I think we probably did it, actually. I mean, we did team sports. And don't get me wrong, I think team sports are incredibly valuable. I think it's builds great resilience and obviously awareness of other people. And
there's one thing that teachers still do is asking the children to choose their team. And
I was always the last person. I was always the last person.
I'm not. You don't give me a ball. This is not my strength of playing with, you know, with catching a ball. But that is to me still happening now, and it shouldn't. Teachers should just do this in a team, and that's it. And not, that's one other thing. It didn't affect me, but I didn't care. Actually, I was happier to sit there and watch than this was not my thing. But it does affect kids, and this is unnecessary. Definitely
fitness, like as in fitness, in, you know, what I do is me, as in not me, but it's my own goals. I know my own strengths, I know my own weaknesses. And so by doing the workouts, and you said, how did I start? I started because I felt very alone after the birth of my third child. I'd actually had four miscarriages before having him.
I'm just going to stop you there. Four miscarriages is an enormous amount to deal with emotionally. So I'm not, if anybody is listening to what you just said, first of all, I'm sorry that you had to go through this. And it, depending on which, at what stage each one, but it is a loss and it's carrying grief, even if it's like early, even if it's just a few weeks. And this is something that subconsciously can be carried for a long time and can create panic feeling and create the fear that you have of life in that sense. So deep down, that has a big impact on you. But it has a positive side because it made you creating something.
Well, yes, I had Rupert and he's got the best, I mean, he's got the most amazing personality. And I like to think of it as that he's got bits of all of the ones that didn't make it that's made him this funny, unique child. But I felt very alone. I was 40 when I had him, which isn't necessarily late, certainly not in this day and age. But again, I put on a little bit of weight, which, as I mentioned earlier, had always been a trigger for various bits of anxiety for me. And I didn't want to go to a gym. I didn't feel comfortable in a gym. I didn't really have anyone to go with. I didn't have childcare. You know, I didn't want to put him in a crate, all of these things. And I started exercising with Joe Wicks. And slowly, slowly, the weight came off. And I now make it very clear that my exercise is not about weight. It's about how you feel, because actually I began to feel strong again. I began to find myself through the power of exercise, which didn't have anything to do with losing the weight, but it had everything to do with getting up and having that movement that we have talked about. And I just felt that there wasn't enough representation in the fitness industry of women plus 40 who were juggling work, families, kids, and I decided to qualify. And I always made a promise that if I qualified, and once I qualified, I would set up this Instagram account and I would do free workouts for women like myself everywhere so they could come and go and pick it up. And so since 2018, I've been doing my free workouts and I haven't stopped. I did them all through lockdown. And in fact, in lockdown, I think I did about 300 workouts and I carried on. And I admire and I have a lot of respect for all the instructors that also did their lockdown workouts, but then they stopped after lockdown. And
yeah, it's true. I noticed that because everybody went back today. Yeah,
which is fine. Everyone had went back to work, and I get that. And actually, I wouldn't be able to do my free workouts. I set up a small spin studio, so from a financial point, I understand people had to go back to work. And I am very lucky that my finances come from teaching spin, and then my Instagram is because I truly believe in the power of movement. I believe it should be free. And I think that for women in particular, we do struggle to find the time to do that, because once we're up, and that's certainly for those that still have kids at home, our lives really aren't ours. And we talk about self-care and we talk about making time for ourselves, which I truly believe in. And it is very important. But the reality is, for a lot of women, that's pretty impossible. I mean,
well, we all have busy life, you know. I've got quite a few children at home, and everybody has needs, and everybody, and you're spending more time at home, and you're also working, and there's still a house to keep going and looking after, and all the needs. So yes, we are definitely busy. So I mean, in a sense, the house, you can actually even use the house to do some fitness, because if you have stairs, you can go up and down the stairs. You can Hoover is one of the definitely. There's lots of different ways of moving, but it's important to move. Movement is really important. That is definitely important. And even the lockdown also, I've created a WhatsApp group just to help people, giving free advice, and I keep going, and the group is still going, and it's nice to make a difference. And there's definitely, I'm seeing a lot of people doing things free lockdown, but it's not just for a small period of time. There's definitely, this is a long stretch. We may be probably getting to nearly a year, and then maybe even more. Have changed so many people's life, and it's affected every single one person on the planet. It's not, no one can say it hasn't affected you.
It's important. I think that's a really important thing you say there, because actually in terms of fear, in terms of anxiety, in terms of everything that we're all feeling, every single person is going through this, and every single person's feelings are valid. And I think that often we can find ourselves, you know, I am very lucky. I do live in a place with a garden and I can go outside. And in lockdown one, I was able to go outside and I was able to walk, and I wasn't in London. And I probably, in all honesty, felt like I wasn't in lockdown, if that makes sense, because nothing much had really changed other than the stress of homeschooling. And that was my stress. But, you know, I would get people saying, oh, well, you are lucky because you can go outside. Yes.
If you have a garden, but if you're stuck in a tiny little flat with a special needs child and you can't get out, yes, that is stress level, and you still need to work. So,
but my point on that is that whether you are that person in that one bedroom flat or that person that has the space, you are both entitled to feel the fear or fear what you are feeling, because that's your own personal experience. And you find a lot of people, and I probably don't acknowledge and accept, you know, like we're talking the miscarriages, there've been other traumas, and so I very, very much sweep them under the carpet one day, I'm sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you sweep them under the carpet, that is why the sleep is disturbed, and unfortunately, it doesn't work after a while, because you're piling them up, and and this is what happened. A lot of people didn't deal, and rightly so. You know, not everyone wants to deal with what's going on, but with COVID, it was such a big blow. So, according to where you were at that time emotionally, some people could cope with it, and some people couldn't cope with it, and this is where fitness is really important, because it's an indirect way of helping your mental health. It's not therapy. It is therapy, but not in that sense. Like, this is why I don't like the word therapy, and I've never really used it. People know I do energy work, and fitness is energy work. You need to make sure that your energy inside the body is flowing nicely, that all, you know, your neck alignment, your movement, everything is important to understand the body. And so this is one of the most important thing to happen at that time. And even now, especially now that we're still limiting, you know, the first lockdown, nobody was actually going out. So even moving into the in-house, even moving into the garden, there was definitely, I felt definitely less movement. That definitely, because I'm always moving in and out and going out and doing things. So, and I know even my kids, so we had online lessons. They also had Joe Wicks. The PE classes was not the PE teacher teaching them. It was tune in, watch the video. So, and then we just all joined in, basically. So,
you know, on that note, women in sport came up with some really disturbing statistics, actually, about how, obviously, due to lockdown and due to COVID, that it was, again, and I'm not a feminist as such, but it was the women that suffered, because the men were working from home and they were able to just go for a run, or they were able to just go and do whatever. Whereas it did transpire that obviously the women were the ones getting the kids, sitting them, watching them homeschool. So a lot of people gave up their fitness. And that was statistically, it was women, I think between the ages of sort of 30 to 45 that suffered the most, and then women over 70.
Yeah, because the majority of people, they had the habit of, okay, if they could, they would drop their kids to school, go to the gym, have that time. And this was not just exercising. This is just an enjoyable time for them. But that was, you know, I mean, I'm lucky, I've got dogs, so I could still go out and enjoy the walk and just...
Yeah, the lockdown dogs, everybody got a dog in lockdown to get out.
Now, my dog is 7 years old, and I was probably one of the only one that had a dog in the area. And I was also told, why do you want to get a dog? Why, you know, it's like, and now all my friends who used to say that, they all got dogs, and everybody got dogs because that was the excuse to go out, and they're pushing you to go out too. And also because they're more at home. So, and I hope that even when they go back to work, that they still manage to handle the dogs. But that also in itself helps you, because you have to take your dog for a walk. So, it's like your friend and is making you going out. So
it's also important to, I think, appreciate, and I saw someone had done a post on it yesterday, that actually we can talk about fitness and we can talk about movement and we can make it sound like it's really easy to do. But actually for a lot of people, that is it can be a huge barrier. And because I love it and because I've found out how it works for me, I find it very easy to stay motivated. But I think as a coach, as a fitness instructor, I have to take on board and appreciate that not everybody is going to have that mentality. And so what's important is probably very much with sort of the things that you do, you have to find what it is that's going to inspire and motivate and drive that person to movement, at the same time as appreciating that it could be a struggle for some people. You know, by sitting here and going, I mean, it's just so easy to get up and exercise. You know, that just makes someone want to turn you off, because it's not easy for everybody.
I always use the, I do say to my client that when you want to change your mindset, it's like it doesn't happen overnight. It's like going to the gym for the first time and using a machine. Those muscles are going to ache. Unless you do it every single day, this muscle is not been used for years. So you can't expect changes suddenly just like that. You have to do little by little every day. And if you want to work on your mindset, a tiny little exercise of even, you know, gratefulness or whatever you find is helpful. But you doing it a little bit every day is better than just suddenly going for it and doing it for a week, you know, the new resolutions of January, like I'm going to do, and then they drop off because it's too much. You really have to be kind to yourself. And if you've never exercised before, you have to find different ways that it's enjoyable and you want to do it, and you do it nicely but regularly, because otherwise that muscle that you've never used is not going to, you're not going to enjoy it if you're in pain and you're like, I'm never going to come back to that class, you know. So
when you actually want to make those changes, and I think you'll agree, you will make those changes.
Definitely.
You know, you can have the best personal trainer in the world and you can have the best coach in the world, but it actually comes from here, from inside of you at the end of the day, to go, ready, do you know what, I'm ready. And I can bring it back to possibly me and my fear. One of these days I'm going to be ready to talk and share and get it all off of my shoulders. And
that will see me. We can work together.
And it will be so cathartic, and it will, you know, who knows what will happen. But that is the thing with exercise, that I can bang on and bang on and bang on. And that's why sometimes I'll wake up extra early and I'll put those little messages, you know, it's 6:15, make sure, come on, we got 15 minutes to get up and do this. If you're lying in bed thinking, don't want to get up, you know, get up and join me, so that hopefully someone goes, actually, yeah, okay, I'm going to do that this morning. That's step one. Okay. And then they feel brilliant. And then the next day they think, okay, I can do that. And it's those tiny baby steps. And once you can do that for a week or 2 weeks, I mean, it just becomes habit. It becomes like having breakfast. It becomes like brushing your teeth. And that's the way forward.
And you actually said something really important, is it doesn't have to be long. You don't have to spend half an hour or an hour, even 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just a tiny little thing that makes you feel better. And then gradually you can increase it, because people sometimes have the wrong idea of what is a fitness class too. They think it's like, oh, I have to now spend.
Some of the instructors, and again, love everybody out there, I'm not, some of the moves that you do, I mean, even I look at it as a 44 woman and think, if I do that, I'm going to break my back.
Exactly.
Just need, you know, 5 simple moves. If you've got a squat, if you've got a lunge, if you've got a push-up, you've got some skaters, you've got all the planes of movement there.
Yes.
You've got your push pull movements, you've got your compound exercises, you've got everything.
You really have to, you know, everybody's different and you just have to try different things. I mean, yeah. I know the first lockdown, I've started doing yoga, and one of the good things about lockdown is that we all find, as a family, we had more time for ourselves in certain ways. So we just transform our lounge and put a yoga YouTube video, and we follow a program, and every day all my girls and we were just starting yoga. We got some mats and they're just starting, and that was a change. So you can find, and some people like, you know, I mean, I know that they do like the spinning class. My girls really like that too. But those, you can just need to give it a go. It's like you said, it's the first step, is trying. And one of the good things is being in a lockdown or being at home, you don't have to worry about being in the class, like, oh, what are they going to say about me if I can't do it? You just give it a go and that's it.
You made a good point there that you said you did it with your girls and you did it as that. And that's the one thing is that I think that through the stresses of lockdown, a lot of families would perhaps, you know, come at loggerheads and, you know, as a mom, as a wife, you get cross that, you know, your space has been invaded and my kitchen is always a mess and everything was always a mess. And every time I tried to tidy everything, everything was a mess. I don't have OCD, obviously not. It was the bonding experience.
Yeah.
So actually for that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was, you're all jumping around or you're all doing your poses, whatever you might do. But, you know, I would, my daughter would come and do them with me and I would look at her and we'd giggle, or, you know, Rupert would come in and I got my stroppy teenage son occasionally to join in. But we would have a laugh. And if we had, you know, in the time that was proper lockdown, and I say proper lockdown because this lockdown
is not yet.
And at those times where, you know, I had one child taking exams and he was mentally in a really destructive play. You know, he was last year of school. He wasn't with his friends. It was very hard to deal with emotionally.
And it's a lot of changes. But laughing is the best therapy in the world. Laughing, cuddling your loved ones if you can, and that is one of the way. I mean, for me personally, because of my own experience and trauma in life, unfortunately, losing my oldest daughter a few years ago, for me, life is so much more important, and I would share it every moment. And I don't even care if I have a bit of a mess in the house, because that means that it is a living house, and I have spent time with my kids, doing things with my children. And and if I have to drive somewhere, I would never complain, oh, I've got to drive to school. I mean, look what happened in lockdown. People then realized it was actually a privilege to be able to drive your child to school. And then and it makes us realizing what is a privilege.
And a privilege, as you said, and I'm sorry to hear that about your daughter. I didn't know, but actually, as Anne, you said, a privilege to have that time as a family. And I think for myself, I definitely felt like I'd become distant from my children, because you live in such a rat race. And actually to have everybody home, mm-hmm. Even my husband, who definitely did drive me mad at times, for him to have that time with the kids was so special, because he often leaves at 5:30 in the morning and he's not back until 8:30 at night. You know, he got to see the kids. And as much as lockdown, I think, has driven us all mad, and I know that it's had a detrimental effect on some families, as you
definitely
have that time and to
look, we have no choice. We're in a pandemic, and what we have to do, we have to turn this into a positive. We have to see, okay, this is what's happening. We can't change that, but what we can change is the way we react to it. So if it's all of us helping mentally, physically, and teaching people that actually you can easily start doing, making some movement, making some changes in your mind, so that you can feel more resilient, happier. And when once everything is finished, you are not going to be living in total fear. That is, and you'll have a fitter body. Then that's the whole thing about it. So, Kate, where can people find you if they want to join you?
If they want to start building a little bit of movement into their day, my Instagram is KateRH_fitness. And there are workouts on there, but I also am very honest about, for any of the women listening, my menopause journey, and anxiety. So come on over and join.
Good. Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. You're listening to Fear Buster, Lauren Rosenberg. Looking forward to next week talking about another fear. Have a good week. Bye.